Dateline Washington, Wednesday, December 10th, 2008. Hello again from the nation's capital. I'm Greg Corumbus. In this edition, the White House perspective on a proposed auto assistance plan. Deputy White House Press Secretary Tony Fratto joins us to explain why he believes the White House and congressional leaders are very close to a compromise deal that will provide emergency aid to General Motors and Chrysler. But he'll also explain why he doesn't believe taxpayers are sending their money down an endless hole to bail out Detroit. Also in this edition, why this is a good move for the industry. We'll be joined by Joe Hinrichs, Group Vice President of Global Manufacturing and Labor Affairs at Ford. We'll ask him about the realistic future of his company and whether this government aid will actually do the trick or just mean they have to come back for more in a few months. Plus, the Obama energy team. We'll talk with Dan Kish of the Institute for Energy Research about the top names being floated as the president-elect's choices to lead his energy policy over the next 4 years. And the politics of scandal coverage. We'll talk with Rich Noyes of the Media Research Center about how the media treats a scandal much differently, depending on whether a Republican or a Democrat is the one in the harsh glare of the spotlight. All that, plus our look at Wednesday's top stories, follows our conversation with Tony Fratto, the White House Deputy Press Secretary. And that begins right now. My first guest in this edition is Deputy White House Press Secretary Tony Fratto, whose career in Washington also had him at the Treasury Department for a while, being the chief spokesman there. He joins us today to talk about the apparent deal struck between the White House and congressional leaders about how to immediately assist the ailing U.S. auto industry. And Tony, it's great to have you with us.
Great to be there. Be here with you.
We're hearing a deal has been struck that you've agreed in principle with congressional Democratic leaders for a $14 billion package that essentially offers emergency assistance to General Motors and Chrysler. Can you go ahead and confirm that? And if so, what are the details?
Well, I would say that we're very close. I mean, in terms of conceptually, the approach of how to deal with these automakers who are very close to failing companies, we have an approach that will help them get through this, get through a short period of time with a very, very strong commitment to restructure their businesses across the full scope of their businesses, so that they can be successful and competitive in the future, and that the taxpayer can be paid back. And if they choose not to, the result is very likely that these firms will have to go into bankruptcy court, and they would be restructured in that process. So we're very comfortable with that approach. There are a number of issues around the edges that we still have to deal with. So we're not quite there yet, but we think the approach is the right way.
In terms of protecting the taxpayers, the administration has said all along that that's the number one goal here, in addition to obviously making sure that the industry doesn't collapse. What are the most important priorities for this president in terms of protecting the taxpayers as this process moves forward?
Well, you're absolutely right. And what we've always felt was that we could never ask the taxpayer to put dollars into a firm that didn't have a reasonable expectation that it could survive and pay back. And that was a critical red line principle for this president, that if we can't look the taxpayer in the eye and say that after we do what we're about to do, the taxpayer will be paid back and you'll have a healthy company, then we can't support it. And so we worked very, very hard in our discussions with Congress to make sure that there is a very high standard for viability. And the way we define viability, and the way most economists would define viability, is that the company has value greater than zero for some time going forward in the future when you consider all of their costs and expected costs. And that is actually a very strong mathematical standard that anyone could look at with some basic assumptions of how the business is going to go, and give a thumbs up or thumbs down as to whether they're viable or not. And if this, what people have come to call the auto czar, determines that they're not viable, then they have to pay the taxpayer back with the money they have.
We're talking with Deputy White House Press Secretary Tony Fratto. And Tony, there are a couple other areas that the administration seemed to be drawing a pretty firm line on. Number one is that you wanted the money for this assistance, whatever the total would be, to come out of the $25 billion fund set aside a while ago to help improve Detroit's fuel economy and just advance their efficiency and retool for the 21st century. Yeah. Is that going to be the case, or is that?
Yeah, that will absolutely be the case for this short-term bridge funding, which is the only funding that we're talking about right now, and we needed to be very clear on that. I know a lot of people wanted to think about how you use the money that was set aside for the financial rescue, and we felt that the money that was appropriated for the financial rescue is still needed for this, for the financial crisis. We're not out of the woods on that, and there's still a lot to do in that area to get our credit markets going and get credit freed up for Americans and businesses, and we felt that Congress had already appropriated funding for the auto industry. This $25 billion was made available and appropriated by Congress specifically to assist the auto sector, and we felt if we're going to assist the auto sector, we should use the funds that were specifically appropriated for that purpose and not have to go into another pot of money.
Another apparent Democratic concession from the reports we're reading is that the automakers will be able to continue to try and pursue legal action against different states that are trying to crack down in terms of emissions requirements. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, this has to do with what's known as the California waiver, where certain states, and California is usually a leader, wanted to set their own fuel economy standards for automobiles above and beyond, or apparently above and beyond what the national standard was. We actually believe that the national standard that we passed in Congress and the president signed is actually over time a better and more stringent standard for fuel economy. This bill would have prevented the automakers from protecting their fleets from having to change counter to the national standard in meeting the miles per gallon for cars driving in America. And we think that a car driving in Pennsylvania shouldn't have to be a car different from a car driving in California or some other state, an American company making automobiles here in America should be able to make it at a national standard. And that's certainly our position. It was a position of the automakers, and we felt like they should be able to continue to protect themselves in court if certain states were trying to force them to change their fleets in that way.
Tony, assuming that the basic structure that we've talked about in this $14 billion compromise is approved and it becomes enacted, do you see this as a method of actually injecting some competitiveness back into especially GM and Chrysler and on the road to recovery, or is this just give them enough money to get to the point where we might have to do this again in a few months?
No, I'll tell you what. In fact, written in the legislation is actually prohibited that these firms can get any additional funding unless they have they're executing a plan for restructuring that brings them to viability for the long term. If they're not executing a plan, the legislation actually says no funds shall be made available from the Treasury for to assist these automakers. They need to have a credible long-term plan for viability. They need to make the very difficult choices to restructure across the scope of their businesses, and that means that you're going to have to see concessions from the from labor, from their creditors, from their dealers, and then the number of and kinds of lines of products that they put out into the market. So that's a tall order. But they're going to have to do it if they expect to get any federal financing at all. And as I said, even the short-term money, this short-term bridge that should take them into March or April, if they are not executing a plan for viability, this auto czar will, in fact, must order the companies to pay back the taxpayers. So we think those are some pretty strong sticks that will compel action by the automakers.
couple minutes left in our conversation with White House Deputy Press Secretary Tony Fratto. And Tony, you mentioned some of the concessions that will need to be made by many different elements in the auto industry. You mentioned organized labor. Is it the White House opinion that the organized labor is doing enough here to help the restructuring process move along?
Well, they're gonna have to. There's no way that these firms can become viable without concessions from everyone, and that includes labor. There's absolutely no other way to make the math work for any of these companies. But they won't be alone in making concessions. As I said, the creditors to the auto companies are going to have to rework their their lending. The number of dealers are going to have to be dealt with. The number of lines and brands that these firms are putting out into the market is going to have to change. So the product mix is going to have to change. So all across the full scope of the business, you're going to have to see concessions, and that necessarily includes labor.
Of course, politically, Tony, you need the votes to get this passed in the next several days here, possibly within the next 24 to 48 hours. One of the biggest stumbling blocks are conservatives in your own party, particularly in the Senate, but also in the House, who say this is another bailout and they're not ready to do this again. They're still a little bit disappointed in how the financial industry bailout went. Mm-hmm. What have you been saying to them to try and get at least enough of them on board to move this along?
Well, we're listening to their concerns. I mean, everyone, number of members, and even some of us here, even those of us who've been working on this legislation, only saw the Democrats, final proposals in the last couple of hours or so. So a lot of us are looking at the legislation very closely. We're asking some questions. I know that there are a number of things in the bills that were introduced, and I say bills because actually the House and Senate Democrats introduced different bills in the House and the Senate rather than the same bill. So that's another hoop to jump through here to try to get something final. But we want to listen to Republicans and the concerns that they raise. We want to answer their questions and see what their ideas are. If they have ideas for strengthening the bill, we certainly want to listen to them.
Tony, unfortunately, our time is up. Very good of you to be with us today, sir.
Thank you very much for having me.
Absolutely. Tony Fratto, Deputy White House Press Secretary. This is Dateline Washington.